If there was any doubt that we were already in the throes of the 2022 campaign season, the New York State Democratic Party chair, Jay Jacobs, effectively fired the starter pistol in early October for the race to be the Democratic nominee for governor next year, when he endorsed Governor Kathy Hochul for a full term in his personal capacity as leader of the Nassau County Dems and the state party chair. We spoke with the Nassau County Democrat on Friday about what the announcement means and what's next for the Democratic gubernatorial primary season. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Thanks for having me.
So what made you endorse Governor Kathy Hochul for the 2022 race for governor?
Well, you know, we're on a shortened election cycle calendar because the primary was moved from September up to June, which means that the state convention, Democratic convention, will be in February. And we have a number of candidates who were angling and maneuvering and considering running for governor. And it seemed to me that the pressure was going up and the time was about ready for a couple of them to decide to jump into a race. So I wanted to be out there just to inform them and have them make an informed decision as to where the support is going to be. And so I'm going first to announce where mine is, and now I'm also free to try to talk to other leaders, other county chairs, which I have been doing, and with good result, by the way, to get them to support Kathy Hochul.
What was it, though, about Kathy Hochul that made you think that she's the right person to be the Democratic nominee next year?
Well, first of all, she's the incumbent, and she, you know, right out of the gate, she was off and running and doing a great job, making tough decisions like the mandates for masks and the rest of vaccines. And so she's demonstrated good leadership. I've known her for a very long time. I know that she will make a great governor. So I have confidence in that. Secondly, I know also that she will be able to beat any Republican in the fall. And that's certainly a requirement. You need a candidate that's going to win. And then the last piece is loyalty. You know, she earned my support, and I believe she's earned the support of every county Democratic leader in the state because of the fact that she spent 7 years going to every single dinner that we've invited her to raise money for Democratic candidates across the state from her home county of Erie all the way out to Suffolk County. She stood on street corners in front of grocery stores and at train stations, handing out literature, shaking hands with voters on behalf of other candidates. She's been tireless in working for Democrats and the election of Democrats. And so now it's her turn, and I think we should be there for her.
It's interesting to hear you talk about her earning the Democratic establishment support, talking about her loyalty and supportiveness of the party and fellow Democratic candidates, because it seems like that could conversely be interpreted, I guess, to mean that Governor Hochul doesn't have a very strong political spine or independence from the party machine. So why should those characteristics be rewarded?
Well, I don't know that I buy that argument. In other words, I don't know that one thing has anything to do with the other. Anybody that knows Kathy Hochul knows she's got a spine. She's pretty tough and sharp.
But has she ever stood up to the Democratic establishment in any meaningful way?
Well, I don't know that the opportunities have been there, but you see that she's making moves to remove Cuomo supporters in positions of commissioner positions and the rest, mm-hmm. shaking up the government. So that I would say demonstrates the capacity to go against, you know, whatever you might consider or term the establishment, certainly.
So you also talked about her ability to win in November, and when you and I talked in August about what was then looking like a really wide open field, you expressed a general lack of concern about the Democrats' chances of losing in November, noting the overwhelming Democratic enrollment advantage. And you even said that a candidate would have to be pretty bad to lose to a Republican. So if that was your thinking then, why does it matter if Hochul looks like a good candidate for November, considering how you've previously said that pretty much any Democrat could win in November?
Well, I think the environment is really a factor as well. When I spoke at that time, I think I was a lot more confident about the political environment, given the poll numbers that Joe Biden had and the rest. You know, you can have a very strong Democratic state. We see other states. Look at Massachusetts, have very strong Democratic enrollment, yet end up with Republican governors. So, and take a look at what's happening now in New Jersey, even Virginia, which has leaned so heavily Democratic recently, has got a very tight race with Terry McAuliffe. A lot has to do with the environment, the political environment. And I also know that in the first midterm election of any new president, the incumbent party doesn't tend to do well. You take a look at 1994, we got a real beating when Bill Clinton was in his first term, and same thing Barack Obama, 2010. So, you know, I'm not quite so confident that it's impossible for a Republican to win. I would just say to you, you need to have the right candidate, and Kathy Hochul, in my judgment, is the right candidate.
In 2010, though, Andrew Cuomo got almost two-thirds of the vote, so it wasn't like the national environment dragged him down at all. So why would that drag down someone at the top of the state ticket in New York this go-around?
I think you have to look at not only the candidate that ran against him, but also the campaign that candidate ran. While Lee Zeldin, if he is the Republican candidate, is also to the far right, and I think that goes against him, and I think that that's not a message that, you know, voters will find resonates. But you don't know how they're going to campaign, and you don't know how, you know, he's going to present himself in a campaign. And my guess is, if he's a savvy politician, he won't look quite as far right as he actually is when the campaign commences in the fall. So I'm not quite so confident that you're going to see a redo of 2010 in the governor's race necessarily. We have to make that happen. And we had a very strong candidate in Andrew Cuomo, and I want a very strong candidate now, and that would be Kathy Hochul.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking with New York State Democratic Party Chair Jay Jacobs about his recent decision to endorse Governor Kathy Hochul for a full term as governor of New York State. So as we speak on Friday morning, the Democratic field is still in flux. Governor Kathy Hochul is the only Democrat who's, you know, jumped into the pool with both feet. But Jumaane Williams, the New York City public advocate, has an exploratory committee. New York State Attorney General Letitia James is clearly flirting with a run. And there are some aspiring governors down in your neck of the woods on Long Island. What consideration did you give to those other candidates as you thought about your decision? And did you go so far as to vet them or talk with them about this process?
Well, you know, I gave a lot of thought to it, and I did talk with some of them.
Who did you talk to?
I talked with Tish James, who's a friend of mine, and Tom Suozzi, who's a friend of mine. I will tell you that if you have an incumbent governor who you believe is capable and good, is in the office, is doing the job, and is a moderate progressive, which is what I would describe Kathy Hochul as. She has certainly a progressive tendencies, but she's moderate. She understands you have to be pragmatic. And then you look at Tish and Tish James, and you look at Tom Suozzi, and even my friend County Executive Ballone in Suffolk County, Steve Ballone. You see that the rationale for each of them is very similar. They have the same general philosophy. They may have, you know, minor policy differences here and there that perhaps might distinguish them. But for the most part, you're going to see a fairly central direction. I don't believe that any candidate from the far left, and I respect Jumaane Williams very much, but I just don't believe that's going to be something that will serve us well. And I think, frankly, that if he were the nominee, I would be concerned that that would give us some vulnerability. We'd have to be concerned about that in a race against at least a Republican that looked moderate. So, you know, it's a complicated, you know, analysis. But yes, I want you to assure you, I gave it an awful lot of thought. I didn't just, you know, do this on a whim.
Do you see Attorney General Tish James as being one of those pragmatic progressives, as you just described, or is she something else in your calculus?
Well, again, I think she's going to have to make the case for the if she chooses to run for governor. I think she's going to have to make a case as to where she stands. I mean, I have dealt with her. I like her an awful lot. I supported her and was helpful when she was running for attorney general. You know, both in getting her the designation of the Democratic State Committee and helping her in the primary, particularly out here on Long Island, so that she would win that primary. So I'm a big fan of Tish James. Now, you know, what her platform will be, she would have to articulate. I just feel that she is leans more toward the center. There may be differences, but I don't see why that necessitates a change in an incumbent. I don't. You know, you have to tell me. As a voter, forget as a Democratic leader, give me the reason to fire Kathy Hochul. That's what I need to know. Because any time that you have a challenger taking on an incumbent, you're really selling the electorate, whether it's a primary electorate or a general electorate, on the idea that they should fire the incumbent. That's the whole thing that kind of an election is about. So quite to the contrary, I see every reason that we should be rehiring Kathy Hochul. So I don't see what we need a change for.
In terms of electability of the people we've talked about so far, Attorney General Tish James is the only Democrat who's actually won a statewide general election. So wouldn't that make her the most viable on the top of the ticket?
I don't think that in and of itself makes you viable. You know, there are people who have won races, and I don't know that they necessarily go on to another one. That's not to say, and I don't mean to take anything away from Tish James in that by any means, but I don't think that's a qualifying argument.
But has Kathy Hochul ever won an election that hasn't had some sort of special circumstances around it? Like, her race for Congress was a special election, and then when she had to defend the seat in a traditional election, she lost it. So doesn't that give you any sort of reservations about her ability to run in a standalone race?
Not at all. I mean, she was running in a district that was overwhelmingly Republican. Mm-hmm. And so even in that district, you know, she came very close, and she won over folks there in the special election. It was low turnout. It was on Medicare was the major issue. It was hot button at the moment. I talk about political environment. The political environment leaned in our favor, and that helped her, I think, in the special. Whereas in the general election, you know, the vote came out much stronger in a very Republican district. I don't hold that against her. I will tell you that she won the primary against Jermoni Williams. The last time out, she did well. She has been out and around. I've seen her campaign. I've actually stood next to her when she campaigns. She connects very well to voters, with voters, I should say, and she's a hard worker. And I will tell you, I have every reason to believe, based upon the job that she's been doing, that she's going to make an excellent governor, and she has been.
And after a quick break, we'll continue our conversation with New York State Democratic Party Chair Jay Jacobs about his decision to endorse Governor Kathy Hochul for a full term as New York State Governor.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and health care.
We're continuing our conversation with New York State Democratic Party Chair Jay Jacobs about his recent decision to endorse Governor Kathy Hochul's bid to be the Democratic nominee for governor in 2022. You've said that you told Andrew Cuomo about your plans to endorse Governor Hochul prior to making the endorsement, saying that a notification was a courtesy to the former governor. Why did you feel like he needed any heads up at all?
Well, you know, I'll turn the question. I don't know why anybody would be saying that he shouldn't have, or that it was wrong to do it. Here is somebody who has just left the office of governor. His lieutenant governor is now the governor running for election. I've known Andrew Cuomo since the days that he was just out of HUD and looking to run for governor early on. I understand that he had to leave office. I asked him to leave office. I asked for his resignation. He wasn't happy with me when I did it. We have had I wouldn't call it a friendship, but we have had a relationship in politics. I think it's appropriate and it's a courtesy to give someone like that a heads up so they don't read about it in the newspapers as their first way of finding out news that may be important to them. I have certain concerns that because of things that I'm seeing that are happening, his continuing to write letters and making statements, et cetera, that he might have an interest in running for governor, which I think is a bad idea. It would be, in my judgment, the best thing that I can do is to maintain good relationships so that I can weigh in with somebody and try to convince them to do what it is that I think is in the best interest of the party. I've seen and heard that there are numbers of people who I believe are looking for a way to find something to criticize here. And frankly, you know what? You don't like that I give courtesies, and I don't mean you, Dave. I mean somebody that's making that complaint. Then that's fine. That's who I am. That is what I have always done. I've tried to remain friendly with people that I can as best possible, good relations, courtesies, and I think that's why I am where I am, is that I think people can trust that I'm not going to do something that surprises them and you know, offends them in some fashion, at least not unnecessarily. And, that's why I think I've been able to, you know, do the things I've been able to do and make the relationships that I have.
You mentioned the ambiguity surrounding former Governor Andrew Cuomo's future. What have you heard either from Andrew Cuomo himself or people in his orbit about a potential comeback bid in 2022?
Well, I want to make it clear that, you know, I haven't had that many conversations with Governor Cuomo, but former Governor Cuomo. But I will tell you that he has never said to me that he's planning on running. That I want to make very clear. Nor has anybody else that would be close to him made that assertion. Mm-hmm. However, you know, much like if you were a nation and you had a border, and on the other side of the border was a very big and strong other country, and all of a sudden you began seeing tanks massing on the other side of the border, even though nobody said anything, it would raise your eyebrows, and you'd want to take a close look at that. And, you know, may not be an attack, but maybe it is. I don't know. So all I'm saying is I see these letters and emails going out from former Governor Cuomo. He's got $16 to $18 million in the bank. I know he wasn't happy leaving office, and I know he feels it was unfair as to what forced him out. He thought I was unfair in my asking for his resignation. And so, given all of that, I think it would be foolish on my part as the state Democratic leader to ignore that. And I'm not going to ignore that. And I'm going to keep an open dialogue, and hopefully, if it ever comes to the point where I have to have an opportunity to weigh in, I'm going to make my view known that Kathy Hochul should be our nominee. That is the best way to keep New York on the course set. I think that Andrew Cuomo as governor did a lot of good for New York State. I don't think we necessarily wiped that slate clean because of the end of the story. I don't think that's right. And I think that he has a legacy, and I want to keep reminding him that let's keep that legacy intact by doing the right thing by the Democratic Party and the people of the state of New York. And in this case, in this election, it would mean taking a pass and just supporting the Democratic ticket.
It seems like his reaction, at least publicly, to the heads up about the endorsement was an email blast he sent out that same day as your endorsement. What was his private reaction, though, to the news that you were going to endorse Hochul? Did he ask you, for example, to hold off and not do it at this point?
The only thing I would say is that he questioned the timing. Other people have questioned the timing. I'm not going to characterize or go into great depth as to what my conversation is. You know, I just don't think that's... You know, if you want to have future conversations, you don't talk in the press about your past conversations with anybody. But all I can say to you is that it was a very courteous and short conversation. He, as I mentioned, he was curious as to what the necessity for that moment, for me to do it at that moment was. But beyond that, no, I didn't get anything directly from him at that time. I did see that email go out. I thought that the timing of that was curious, and those are the kinds of things that, you know, give me that evidence, those, if you will, using the metaphor, those tanks massing on the border. You know, what does that mean? I don't know, but I'm certainly not going to ignore it, nor am I going to treat somebody discourteously, and you know, we'll see, you know, what impact my advice may have in the future. Who knows? I'm not, as I said, I'm not that arrogant to assume that because I say it and want it, that's the way it goes.
So while you are the chair of the Democratic Party in New York, Governor Hochul is the de facto head of the institution as the highest ranking elected Democrat in the state. It's my understanding your term of office is scheduled to go through September of next year. But have you had any conversations with her about staying on as chair through the end of that term and even beyond?
No, none whatsoever. Certainly, I mean, I'm not even thinking for myself about beyond. No, that's not been a topic of discussion. I have to tell you, and people may not know this, but Kathy Hochul and I have been friends since 2009 in my first go around as state chair. Mm-hmm. And I've known her and talked to her through her years as lieutenant governor on a regular basis. I've campaigned with her. So it's not as though we don't know each other and we don't have a great working relationship. We do. That said, you know, if she would decide, and she knows this, if she would decide that she needs a new state chair, that for some reason I don't fit the bill, then that's perfectly fine, and I accept that. And I'm comfortable with that. That it wouldn't be the first time that's happened with a sitting governor and me. So that's okay. But no, we have not had that conversation.
Moving forward, you mentioned that the party's state convention is likely going to happen in February. What's actually going to happen at that convention in terms of the nominating process?
Well, I mean, in each of the statewide offices, which include, I think, United States Senate this year, the Senator Schumer's seat is up, I believe. And then you've got Comptroller, Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, and Governor. We're going to have votes for a party designee. If you get over 50%, you are the party's designee. If a candidate receives 25%, they are automatically on a primary ballot. If you don't receive 25% at our state convention, then you're going to have to go through the petitioning process, and that requires you to get at least 15,000 signatures across the state,
right,
in order to get yourself onto the ballot.
Well, we've been speaking with New York State Democratic Party Chair Jay Jacobs. Jay, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. You take care now.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.